And so I've been asked to preach on this particular topic. And so to do that, I really needed to look all over the scripture for different passages. And there are a lot of passages that talk about God's word. And so we're going to look at a few of them together today. And I would really encourage you, if you don't already attend the Sunday school, to stay for the Sunday school after. Because I believe that there's always good insight given when you're able to kind of talk through things together. Okay, so if you're not a part of that normally, check it out. Okay, who's the Sunday school teacher? Am I going to embarrass you? Oh, he's not here, or she's... Okay, well, someone will be leading that, right? Yeah? Okay. Someone that's very sleepy will be very alert by the time we get there. Okay, now I have a question to ask all of you as we start. And that is, do you ever do anything just because you know you should? You ever do anything just, you know it's the right thing to do, so you just do it. But because you're just doing it, it doesn't really do anything for you. Well, I do. And one of those things that I do on a constant basis is, most of you know that I'm also a teacher at a Christian school. And one of the things that I do is I give my students assignments. And that's not the thing that's good. But I collect those assignments or tests. And what I do is I gather them all together, and I usually clip them together somehow, and I stick them into this big bag. And then I think to myself, as a good teacher, I'll take that home and I'll mark it. Any teachers here, and by the way? Okay, one person will be able to relate to me. Well, now you'll know what all your teachers are going through then. So I take this big bag of marking home, and I think it's good for me to do this. And when I get home, I kind of set it down by the desk computer area, and then I kind of get busy with my family, and then have dinner, and then by the time my kids are ready for bed, it's getting late, and I'm getting worn out, and I walk by that bag a number of times, and I think, oh, I'll wake up early. That's what I'll do. And then early comes, and the pillow wins. And so in the morning, I pick up that bag, and I carry it right back to school. And then at the end of the school day, I think, oh, I really better take, because, you know, I got this marking to do. And I take that bag home again the next day, and a similar thing will happen. And the next day, I'll take it back to school. And this bag can go back and forth with me a number of times. And I'm bringing it home because I know it's good to. And it makes me feel good, like, okay, I'm leaving at the end of the day, and I'm going to do this, and I'm feeling good about it because I know that I should be doing it. Then it doesn't do anything for me. It just kind of makes me feel guilty the next morning when I see it, and it's still full of marking. Sometimes I do get my marking done, or I wouldn't be able to keep the job, but sometimes that bag, though, is a real source of discouragement. And I do bring it back and forth, and sometimes the only good out of that, carrying it back and forth, is I get a little bit stronger, because sometimes it's a pretty heavy bag. But some of us do the same thing with this, with our Bibles. And what we do is we're going to church, and it's the right thing to do. So I grab my Bible on the way out, and I bring it with me. And then when I get to church, it goes right down next beside me to give me a little space, you know. And then sometimes the scripture reader will just project the scripture up on the screen, so I don't even need to look at it. And then, you know, in the Sunday school time or whatever, sometimes you might not have to look up the scripture references, and you know, things are written down for you. So at the end of the day, you pick up your Bible and you cart it home And you brought it to church because you know it's good. And you bring it back home and you set it down. Maybe you set it down by your nightstand or where you spend some time, maybe beside your computer or something. And all week long you think, oh, okay, yeah. And you kind of just move it because it's in the way because I'm working over here. And you do the same thing that I do with my marking bag. You just kind of move it around. And it doesn't have the impact that it should. Well, I'm not sure if that describes all of you, that your Bible is simply an accessory. Black, looks good, matches my belt, my shoes. Maybe you're not there. Maybe this is your life manual. But wherever you are, I hope that as we look into his word today, that we'll see the value and the importance that we need to make his word. Now, simply reading the Bible, though, doesn't make us spiritual. But it is better than just carrying it back and forth to church. So let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to really speak to us this morning, no matter where we are in our walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to church to worship you. We come to church to fellowship with believers. And we look into your word together. We study your word sometimes. And sometimes, God, we confess that we just kind of carry the Bible around with us, whether it's in our iPhone or in a hard copy. And it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't impact us because we don't approach your word in the right way. And so, God, this morning, I ask as your representative here, and as our congregation's representative, we ask, God, that you would speak to us as we submit to your word and as we open our hearts and our minds to you. We do pray, God, that you would speak to us and that we wouldn't just be hearers, but that your word would make a difference in our lives. We ask your blessing upon this time of learning and teaching and upon the time that we have together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today, we're really going to be looking at the importance of studying God's word. And now to some of you that might sound a little bit boring, but I'm trusting the Lord that it will not be. And so we're going to look at how to study the Bible logically. And sorry, if you can't read that, is it behind me?
Yeah.
If you can't read that, it says premise one, if A equals B and if B equals C, then A equals C. And that's called logic. It's deductive reasoning. Some of us think of logic as a bright idea. But as we study together today, I'm going to put a little bit of spin on the word logic, because I think we need, how do we study the Bible? Well, logically, we just need to study his word. And so with that said, I'm going to start with this. How do we approach God's word? So how do we actually approach his word? Now, if you have a pen with you, don't do what some of us do with our Bibles and just bring our Bibles and set them down beside. Bring your pen and pull it out. Is there a spot to write in here? Sure. There it is. There's a spot. You can take notes. How many of you got a bulletin this morning? Ushers, you're not doing your job because half the people over here didn't get one. Oh, you got one. Okay. All right. So you have a pen. So you should be using that. And writing down what God either impresses on your heart or what God you believe wants you to hear, or perhaps even just remind yourself later if you look back at your notes. And did you know that with learning, writing it down helps solidify it? Even if you just write it down and at the end of the service you throw it into the garbage, it's actually better than just listening. So there you go. Okay, so how do we approach God's word? Well, if we look into the scripture passage that John read for us this morning, it starts off with this. In verse 19, actually I'm going to skip down to verse 21. It says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And that word being the truth of God, or the word of God. And how does it say that we should be approaching it? It says this way. We should be doing it humbly. How do we approach God's word? We need to do so with a humble heart. It says that we are to humbly accept the word planted in you. And so you see, God's word is, yes, it's a book, but there are truths and principles in it. And when we read them, those are the truths that are being planted into our hearts or our lives if we come to God's word humbly. Because sometimes when we approach God's word, sorry, I can't remember your name, but as you were sharing this morning, sometimes we read God's word and we think, oh, I've already read this passage before. So you can kind of half fall asleep as you're reading it. Well, how many of you have ever heard the Christmas story? Okay, I know you all have. It was a rhetorical question and only two of you answered yes. But you've all heard it. How many of you have ever heard the Easter story? I mean the resurrection of Christ. Okay, same thing. You've heard it. And what do? Every year, every December, every April or at the end of March, depending on the lunar cycle, we hear the same story. Do we fall asleep? I hope not on those Sundays. But we hear them over and over again, and they don't become stale unless we make them that way. We can. But when we approach God's word, we need to do it humbly, and we need to humbly accept the word. And you see, the word humble really means to be in submission to. So that means when we read God's word, we need to come with this attitude that the words that we're about to read are authoritative to the way we live our lives. Does that make sense? So if I'm going to humble myself on the 404 and I see a sign that says 100 km/h or whatever, you know, 100 kilometers per hour. I can't remember the acronym. Okay, 100 miles an, or kilometers per hour. If I'm going to be humble, I'm going to not have a lead foot. If I'm not going to be humble, I'm going to go at whatever pace I want, and hopefully there will be no speed traps along the way to the church. I did go a little bit over, but there you go. But I wasn't the fastest. People were still zooming by me. So that's my justification. Okay. So we need to come humbly to God's word. And one of the ways that we come humbly, and see, not everything's going to be on here, by the way. I'm only putting like keywords, like just the word humble. So you need to fill in whatever you need to. But one of the ways we come humbly is by recognizing who it's from. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed," or breathed. No, breathed. All scripture is God-breathed, which means that it's God's word to us. You can read the rest of it. I'll elaborate on the rest of that verse later. But if we recognize whose word it is that we're actually reading, and we realize who God is as our creator, and we being the created, we automatically put ourselves into this state of being humble, and therefore we will look to the scripture as authoritative, meaning that we'll do what it says because of who is saying it. Sometimes when I get an ache or a pain, or my wife has something kind of going on with her, and she'll say to me, "Can you look up on the internet, you know, what this is?" Or I'll get this. Actually, I've got an ache right now. It's really been bugging me. Right here. Every time I get up and I go to wash my hands in the sink, it's just the wrong angle for my body, and this kills me. Just this angle. This angle's fine. This angle's fine. It's killing me. So what do? Google search. Weird pains in lower back side. Oh, okay. This is exactly what it is, and this is what I need to do. Hot compresses or a little rub. Okay, don't bend that way because it hurts. You know, some common sense, and I know it all. Well, it's been like that for 2 weeks. Okay, so obviously I don't know it all, but I like to think I do. And sometimes we look at God's word and we think, oh, well, I know what it says. I know what God wants me to do. And we don't come with a very humble attitude. And so God's not going to be able to speak to us. Well, he can, but he likely won't, because your heart is hard to what he has to say, because you're not in a submissive posture or pose to receive from God. Instead, we sometimes need to go to the doctor. And now I do go to a doctor once in a while when my wife makes the appointment. And the doctor sometimes gives me a prescription for something. And I do actually take one prescription. Can't remember what it is, so I'll use my wife's prescription. She takes Lipitor. Anyone here on Lipitor? It's not a bad thing. It just helps the cholesterol stay low. Anyways, if you're on Lipitor, one of the things that the doctor will tell you and the pharmacist will tell you, two people that should have some kind of authority in your life when it comes to medical things, unless you yourself are also a doctor, they say, don't eat grapefruit. Don't know why, but I believe them. Why? Because they're the doctors. They're the one with the degrees. I don't know why. It's probably something to do with the citric acid or something. That's as far as my chemistry knowledge goes. So what does my wife do when we go down to Florida and there's fresh grapefruits and they taste a lot better than up here in Canada? And I tell her she's not supposed to. She always has one little slice, though. She can't resist. But generally speaking, we listen to what the doctor says because they have authority. Same thing. If we recognize who wrote God's word, we will listen to what the word says. The second thing is part of being humble is recognizing that we're sinners and that we're not going to always be able to make those right choices. Okay? I won't elaborate there. I think you know you're a sinner. Okay, so we need to approach God's word in a humble way. There's a guy named Josiah. Does anyone know who Josiah is? He's dead now. He's in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. There's two whole chapters devoted to him, and also he's in 2 Chronicles too. And he is one of the kings, and he was actually the king who was the youngest king ever, and he became king of Israel when he was 8 years old. And this is what it says about him. Just a couple of verses in 2 Kings chapter 22. It says this in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became the king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So this is a pretty good king. Not all of the kings were good, but this is one of the ones that followed God's ways. But in the 18th year of his reign, so he's now 26 years old, King Josiah sent the secretary, some strange name, to the temple of the Lord, and he said, "Go up to Hilkiah, da 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 da." And when he was there, Hilkiah, the high priest, said, "I found the book of the law." It had been missing. And what he did was he brought it back to the king. And the king, it says in verse 10, had it read to him. It said, "And Saphath read from it in the presence of the king." So the first thing that he did when he received God's word, or the book of the law, the Torah, he had it read. And in verse 11 of 2 Kings 22, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. That's a humble attitude. He recognized that it was God's word. He recognized that he had not been living up to what was stated in there in the book of the law. And he was mortified as the leader of the country, and he just ripped his robes. Then in verse 17, this is God's response. You see, as they read God's word, they realized that they had been doing wrong. And it says in verse 17, "Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all of the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched." See, they realized and they heard from God that they deserved to be punished for all of the failures that they had done, including idolatry. But in verse 19, sorry, if you have a Bible, you can be following along, by the way. 2 Kings 22, 19. "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord." And God spares him from that same punishment. See, King Josiah, a man who followed after God's ways and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, that was how he is described in the scripture. When he reads, has the scripture read to him, how does he respond? In a humble way, acknowledging that he had gone the wrong way, and rips his clothes, humbles himself, and sets himself back on the right path. And that's how we need to be responding to God's word. Okay, we better move on. Next one. How do we approach God's word? Hungry and expectant. I was going to have 3 points, but I couldn't think of a H for expectant. So I put it in 2. But in the scripture, there are verses like, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful." Oh, let's see if I can remember these 4 things. "For rebuking, for correcting, for teaching." Did I say that one already? "And training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be fully equipped," in verse 17. See, when we come to God's word, we need to come with expectancy, expecting that God's word is powerful and will impact our lives. For those of you that prefer the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it's actually just one page over in my Bible from our main passage. 1 Peter 2, 2 says this. Well, actually, in verse 1, it says, "Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." And then in verse 2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." You see, we are supposed to come to God's word hungry. And we are supposed to crave spiritual milk as babies. But for those of you that have been a Christian for a little while, you shouldn't still be on milk. When you have a young child, a baby, an infant, you can bottle feed them or naturally, and they gain their nourishment from the milk that's provided for them. But you eventually get weaned off that milk and you start getting solid food, whether it's Cheerios first or mush or whatever, ground up peas and stuff. It's actually pretty good, by the way, if you ever try it, baby food. But you can't keep them on the milk. You got to move them beyond. And in this passage here, that in 1 Peter, he's really talking about we need to crave spiritual truth so that we'll be growing. But then as we grow, we can't just stay as babies. Oh, I want some more milk. I want some more milk. I need some more milk. Can you teach me more? Can you teach me more? Can you teach me more? We need to eventually get walking on our own and learning on our own and reading God's word on our own. And so when I say that we need to come hungry, we do. We start off with a hunger for God's word, but then it moves beyond that into this expecting to grow, expectation of spiritual growth. A second part of this hungry and expectant, is, it's from John chapter 14. And as I was reading through God's word this week, this was a passage that kind of stuck out for me. John chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And it says this, Jesus is speaking, and it said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You do know him and have seen him. You see, one of those logic things, I'm going to go backwards just for a second so you can see that logic. If A equals B, then B equals C, then A equals C. So if we know Jesus, we will know the Father. But how do we get to know Jesus? We get to know Jesus as we read through the scripture. We get to know him better through the word of God. So we get to be, really knowing God through Jesus. And apart from knowing Jesus, we cannot know God. You might know facts about God, but facts won't get you to heaven. Personal knowledge of God is crucial. So knowing him, God, through a personal relationship with his son will ultimately mean a change in attitude, a change in ownership, and a change in your destiny simply by reading God's word. For this is how we get to know Christ. Okay, so we've talked about how to approach God's word. And the two ways really are to come humbly and to come hungry. I think we need to have those two main attitudes. And then with that hunger comes that expectation and expectancy. You don't go to the buffet expecting to leave hungry, right? So how do we read God's word? Okay, now I'm gonna zip through some of these things because I know that a lot of these things you're going to discuss in your Sunday school. So again, if you don't go to Sunday school, go to Sunday school today because this is the stuff that's going to really be talked about. So I was really focused in on how do we even approach God's word, because if you don't even know how to approach God's word, then how are you going to do it in a logical way? But I do want to touch base on what some of these things mean. So first of all, when you talk about context, you have to understand the context. How many of you have ever kind of joined in the middle of a conversation, or you only hear one side of the conversation, and you're thinking, what are they talking about? And then it takes a couple of minutes. Oh, okay. There's probably too many examples like that for me. You know, especially if I hear my wife talking to someone on the phone, it's like, don't tell them that, don't tell them that. Oh, you were talking to your mom. Oh, never mind. It's fine. If you jump into the middle of a conversation, you won't know the context of it. And it reminds me of a joke where someone didn't really know what to read for their devotion, so they kind of just flipped open their Bible and they stuck their finger in the Bible and said, okay, God, speak to me. And they read, Judas went and hung himself. So they go, I don't like that. So they flipped it open again and they, okay, God, go and do likewise. Ah, okay, so we can't do that, right? That's not in context. If you do that, you can get yourself into trouble, right? Yeah. So you do have to read it in context. What does God really want you to go out and hang yourself? No, it was in the narrative of the story of what happened to Judas when that guilt from his betrayal of Christ was too much for him to bear. It was so much for him to bear, he took his own life and maybe created even worse sin. But you need to read things in context so that you understand. And so sometimes when you read a verse, one of the things that I like to do is I like to read the entire chapter of Scripture. Wow, that's so much more reading. Yeah, but it helps me to get it. Sometimes for devotions, I'll read through an entire book of the Bible one day. Wow. You're really spiritual. No, not really. Some of them are only one chapter long. But you can read through a whole chapter or a whole book of the Bible to kind of get the context. What's the big picture? So that when you're reading the individual verses or chapters, oh, I see what he's meaning. But if you don't understand that, you don't get it. And so one of the things that we're doing, and this actually kind of follows, I think it's the next one, it's the systematically, is kind of, as you're reading through God's word, you want to do it in a logical order or a systematic approach. And so at my own church, where I'm the children's pastor, one of the things that I've implemented is we're going through the Bible chronologically. And we didn't start with Genesis because the kids have heard that story too many times. So we're starting with Jesus's after his birth. And so we just started this in January. And we're looking through chronologically, where does this all go? But even in the curriculum that we chose, because I'm not writing all of the curriculum, but all of the Bible stories, even from the Old Testament, link to Jesus. So when Moses raised up in the desert when the Israelites were being bitten by snakes, and he had this staff where there was a bronze snake on the staff. And it said, God told them that whenever they got bit by a poisonous snake, to turn and look to that. As you look into the scripture, it reminds us of another person that was hung up on a staff, a stick, that we need to look to. Jesus. And so even in the Old Testament, there's this thread through it that leads to Jesus. From the very beginning, Genesis, right through to the very end of Maps. That's at the end of my Bible anyways, Maps. Genesis. I mean, Revelation. Now I got myself mixed up. Genesis to Revelation. Sorry, I was just trying to be silly. From Genesis right through to Revelations, everything points to Jesus. But if you don't read the whole context, sometimes you just read a story and you're like, that's a good story. What does it want? But it actually points to Christ. So that's why we're looking through the scripture as a children's ministry, developing in those kids the idea that we need to go chronologically or systematically. And the last thing interpreting and applying. And there is a difference between these two words, interpreting and applying. Interpreting is, what does this say? What does this say? And sometimes we get a little bit mixed up between what does it say and what does it say to me? And we can get ourselves into trouble that way. Because, oh yeah, this passage, it always makes me feel so good. It's like, yeah, no, that's not what the passage is about. It's not about making you feel good. Yeah, but it reminds me of that song that I really like. Yeah, but that passage is all about, you know, your sin. When I was just a beginner preacher, one of the things that I used to do, and it was simply because I was always smiley, and in fact, even this morning I brought my PowerPoint on my smiley face USB, and because I like to smile, I'm a smiley kind of guy, and yet when I would preach about your sin, I'd be like, "You're sinners!" And you know what happens to sinners? And I'd have this great big grin on my face, and it was because I was a smiley kind of guy. And so my wife would constantly remind me, "You were smiling again as you were saying about the bad stuff that we do." Oh. Oh, I trained myself now. "You're sinners." Okay. No, I'm not like that. But when we read the scripture too, we want to interpret it correctly. Why did God put it there? Why did God save that special word for us? And what was he trying to say? And there's all sorts of different techniques, and you can read books on it. But one of the things is, what would the people that were reading it at that time, how would they have understood what was being said? Because that's really the main purpose. And you want to get the main purpose out of it. But there are some times when you read God's word, and this is kind of where it goes from interpreting to applying. And we know that interpreting can be tricky, because if it wasn't so difficult, there would only be one denomination. But we have all sorts of different denominations, because we all think Jesus is coming back at the end of time or before the rapture or middle of the rapture. There's all sorts of different ideas. Some people say you have to be baptized, fully immersed. Some people say, no, just a sprinkling on the head. Others say, oh, baptism in your mind is fine. Others say you don't need to be baptized, just believe in Jesus. And so there's all these different interpretations of what Scripture says. There is really only one truth, though. So sometimes that interpretation can mislead us. And that's why, again, we need to come humbly to God's word. And part of that being humble is saying, "Lord, speak to me." Okay, so, but I'm not on how to approach God's words. I'm on how to read God's word. And so when we get to the applying part, this is where James talks about we need to not just be listeners, but also doers of the word. And there's so many different passages that I could read, but I'm going to run out of time. So all I can say is that you sometimes need to look for an application. And an application, this is where it doesn't have to be the same for everyone. How do we show mercy? Well, to me, showing mercy can simply mean giving money to World Vision. To another person, it will be, you know, going downtown and practically giving warm blankets and sub sandwiches to homeless people on the street during the wintertime. And so there are lots of different ways to show mercy and different ways that we can. And so when we read God's word, when it says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, well, what if I don't love myself very much? But I still need to apply God's word. So understanding and interpreting what Jesus meant when he said that. And another thing is then, how do I apply it into my own life? So there is a balance between the two. Okay? But you will look into that. I hope. Is the Sunday school teacher here yet? I hope so. We'll pray that the Sunday school teacher is here. There is Sunday school today, right? Okay. I saw some heads nodding, so... Okay, let's pray, and we'll ask that God's word would be powerful and effective in our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you always in a humble way. We bow our heads out of reverence to who you are. We fold our hands and we close our eyes so that we're not distracted by anything because we want to give you our fullest attention. And maybe we do these things because our parents taught us, but Lord, we also do it because we want to acknowledge who you are. And again, just as we look into your word or have looked into your word, we pray, God, that we would be doers of your word, that we would be readers of your word, and not just hearers, though, but then we would also do. So help us, God, to understand what you want to say to us through your scripture and then to apply it into our lives so that we won't be failures when it comes to being doers and readers of your word. And we pray your blessing on us now as we are about to close our service. In Christ's name, amen.